92:10. Psalms 92:10. Praise God. Psalms 92:10. It says, but my horn you have exalted like a wild ox. I have been anointed with fresh oil. So today's message, we're talking about fresh oil. We're going to emphasize over the next few weeks, as the Lord allows, the importance of joy and the Holy Spirit. Joy and the Holy Spirit. So Amplified Classic says it this way, but my horn, my emblem of excessive strength and stately grace. Amen. Everybody say, my emblem of excessive strength and stately grace. Praise God. That means your lifestyle should be emblematic of excessive strength, not weakness, excessive strength and stately grace. He says, you have exalted like a wild ox. I am anointed with fresh oil. Everybody say, I am anointed with fresh oil. New Life Version says it this way, but you have lifted up my horn like that of a wild bull. New oil has been poured upon me. How many ever took your car to get an oil change? How many of you regretted that you didn't take a car to get an oil change, or seen people regret? Hallelujah. What happens when you don't get an oil change? The engine locks up, right? Overheats. It shuts down completely. In some cases, it's just irreparable. Amen. Occasionally and frequently, we need to get fresh oil. We need a fresh anointing on our lives. We need a fresh fire of the Holy Spirit in and upon our lives. Amen. We call it in some terminology revival. We need to be personally revived and refreshed and renewed with and refilled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. It says this, and don't be drunk with wine, which is dissipation. I like how the Amplified says debauchery. Praise God. In other words, don't be under the influence of anything else that would be equated to wine, but it's talking specifically as well as wine. So it's a twofold reference here. It's a reference to your life, and it's as a reference to people who want to step into the area of drinking and getting drunk. It says, don't be drunk with wine. We all know when a person is drunk, they are under the influence, in this case, of alcohol, in our modern day concept or understanding. You know, and definitely don't have the time or the platform here to right now to talk about, you know, the dangers of drunkenness and the sin of drunkenness, but it is. Too many people have been tragically lost in this life early because they've been drinking and driving or under the influence of alcohol. So we know the tragedy that has brought to many. So I don't need to go through that. And the domestic fallouts that have occurred because people get drunk and get angry and do things stupid and cause families to be broken. Y'all hear? So he said, don't be drunk with wine, which is dissipation or debauchery. But he said, but be what? But be filled in the same breath. Be filled with this new wine, this spiritual wine of the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Now, this is a continual or a continuum expression. It doesn't say be filled. Okay, it was hot yesterday. Everybody know it was hot yesterday, right? If you didn't, you had to step outside for a minute, and you knew it was hot. And, of course, it's easy to get dehydrated when it's hot. or you've been going along and working a lot, doing manual things or just moving around, you lose hydration. So he's not telling you, okay, drink some water and get hydrated, rehydrated once. He says, be continually filled and filled and filled and filled. In other words, it's an imperative, but it's also a command. This is a divine imperative, but it's also a command. The only way you can stay in the victory realm, the overcoming realm, is to stay spirit-filled, spirit-led, spirit-controlled. Praise God. Hallelujah. In other words, as a Christian, born-again Christian believer, and, of course, if you've been spirit-filled, it's important and imperative, and it's a command to stay filled. Not just be filled once, but stay filled. Hallelujah. Now, we'll get into more mechanics of, okay, you know, why do I need to speak with tongues? Why do I need to pray in the Spirit? We'll get into that later, not today. But people need to receive the Holy Spirit. If you've been a Christian and you need to be exercising your prayers in the Spirit, your dealings in the Spirit, learning things of the Spirit, praise God. But you need to start at the gateway. The doorway is being filled. Amen. Amen. We're not supposed to, as Christian believers and Christ followers, and particularly born-again, spirit-filled believers, which we believe and we are persuaded that that's the standard of excellence in this day and age, is to be born again and spirit-filled, is to be continually filled and filled again with the Holy Spirit. This is an imperative. This is a command that we must embrace and engage in constantly. And it goes on immediately to say this, verse 19, look at verse 19. Be filled with the Spirit speaking. So when you're spirit filled, you speak. But you're not just speaking naturally, you're speaking supernaturally. Because he goes on to say, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. He's not talking about natural songs. He's talking about spiritual songs. He's not talking about hymns of the devil's chorus, top 10 records out of hell. No, you're singing hymns from heaven. You're singing psalms, which is a spiritual poem or an ode. You're singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. You're not only speaking, but look at verse 20. Verse 19 again, the other half. Psalms and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart. So you're not only speaking, but you're singing. You're not just listening to music, but you're actually vocalizing music. Music that comes right from your heart. Now, how many of you have caught yourself singing in the shower or around the house? Well, we should be all participating in singing to the Lord. Now, we've said this before, that some people sing and listen to songs about the Lord. Good. Nothing wrong with that. Some people have sung or listened to songs of what the Lord has done. That's good. Nothing wrong with that. But how about singing songs to the Lord? So just like I'm preaching to you online or in person, you've got to also talk directly to the Lord, but sometimes not just speaking to the Lord in prayer, but also singing to the Lord praise. There's deeper levels, guys, ladies. There's deeper levels that we have to go to in the spirit realm. God doesn't just anoint us to sit down and get goosebumps. God anoints us for exploits, for excellence, for edification of the church. I'll say it again. Why does God anoint us with fresh oil? For exploits, ministry exploits, for excellence in serving God and serving others. Amen. And for the edification of the church, for the building up, for the constructive spiritual progress of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Now let's look at verse 20. Excuse me. It says here, giving thanks always for all things to God. What's a way you can tell if you're spirit-filled? What's an indication that you're spirit-filled? One, a song in your heart to the Lord. Two, thankfulness all the time. As I said before, there was a gentleman who was taking a great man of God who's in heaven today to lunch. He asked him to go with him. But this man of God didn't talk that much and didn't speak that much, and so they didn't have a lot of conversation per se. And just talking about stuff. But he said he did notice every 10 minutes, every 5 to 10 minutes while they were sitting down eating lunch, he would always utter a thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. You know, just they're in a restaurant. They're eating. He was eating some soup. But between eating his soup, he'd raise up and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Now, you think about if you're this concept, we brought it before you before. If you're thankful, that means your tank is full. So a tank full of the Spirit is thankful through the lips. So the second indication that you're filled with the Spirit is that you're thankful. Not thankless, certainly not unthankful. Thankfulness. Thankfulness is a scriptural power play for increase and progress. Some people are stuck in certain places and limited by only limited graces because they're so unthankful or not thankful enough. And we said it before, there's no place between here's thankful and let's just say over here is unthankful. There's no space between. Well, you can't French straddle and say, well, I just don't want to say anything right now. No, that's an indication that my tank is not full. Because if I'm full of the Spirit, then I'm going to be full of thanks. I'm going to be thankful. I'm not going to be running around grumbling, complaining, being moody, being mad, poking my mouth out. Everybody sees my face as what's wrong with them. Just like I'm looking at some faces. Praise God. It's in your face. Hallelujah. Somebody say praise the Lord. So it says giving thanks always for all things. Now, that's what you don't see a lot today. You don't see a lot of giving thanks for all things. They want to talk about all things. They want to murmur and complain about all things. They want to sit down and have a mini counseling session with their friends or their mentors about all things that are happening. And so it's like we're shock and awe or wonder and amazed about all the things that's going on in my life, all the things that happened, but where is the thanks? He said, in everything, give thanks. In what? Everything, give thanks. Again, just to reiterate, that word in everything, that word in is the Greek word en. Interesting how it plays out like that. En means a fixed position. A fixed position in place, time, and status. A fixed position. That means in every position in every place, at all times, at any time, and in whatever status you're in. You're up, you're down, you're out, you're in, everything's good, everything's not so good. You're in a mountaintop, you're in the valley. In everything, give thanks. I'm going slow for intentional purposes. You got to know, am I spirit-filled? And I said, well, people almost get religiously proud. I speak in tongues. Oh, yeah, I feel. But the evidence is contradictory to what this description is showing. He said, being filled. That means if you're going to be filled, then you're going to be speaking and singing from your heart to the Lord. You're going to be giving a song out of your heart to the Lord. And then there's going to be some thankfulness coming forth. Amen. Praise God. Somebody say praise the Lord. Y'all getting something out of this? Giving thanks to God in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So you're honoring the Lord with thanks. You honor the Lord with giving him appreciation for every opportunity, good, bad, or what we say, indifferent. So you get in the spirit enough, you'll start to, as the Holy Spirit reveals to you things to come, and you see things to come, and you're not sad now. You're glad. You say, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for another opportunity to prove your word is true in my life. Thank you, Lord, for another opportunity. Hallelujah. For you to get the glory through me and through my faith. Praise God in you. Thank you, Lord, for another opportunity to prove that you are God and God alone. Come on now. I thank you, Lord, for another opportunity for Jesus to be exalted and be magnified in and through my life. I thank you, Lord. Now, this is in the middle of a hard place or extreme difficulty that you see coming on the horizons of your life. In everything, give thanks. But usually that's not the spiritual first response to many Christians, unfortunately. And why is it not? They're not filled. They are not looking at Ephesians 5:18 as an imperative and as a divine command. A divine imperative means I've got to do this. I've got to stay in this place. I've got to be this. I've got to know this. I got to make sure I have this. I have a status of being spirit-filled. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, let's look at verse 21. Here's the third characteristic. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God, the Lord. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord. This characteristic is another characteristic that Christians, spirit-filled Christians, exhibit. Submission is not subjugation. Most people think submission is subjugation. Submission is the key to power. And promotion. Submission is the key to power. Submit yourself under the mighty hand of God. In other words, if y'all look at me for just a moment, I'll just illustrate it for you. So it's like the Lord is telling you from heaven, everybody, you know, amplifying Ephesians 3:18, be filled. Well, what do? You submit to that. I'll do it. And then because you submit to the Lord, you submit to others in the fear of the Lord. I'm doing this because I fear the Lord. I'm not afraid of God. But what am I? I'm reverentially in deep reverence, awe, and honor of God. I am in awe and honor and deep reverence toward God. Because I don't want to make the Lord unhappy with me or unfavorable towards me because I disrespect or dishonor another person. I submit. Amen. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So those are three big or major characteristics of being spirit-filled. And as we said before, require a continual refilling and refueling, so to speak. Everyone acts different when they're filled with the Holy Spirit. Why is that? Because we leak. We expend spiritual energy and our reservoirs of living a life of faith, honor, love, and maintain spiritual stamina and strength. So we can get spiritually dehydrated and fatigued through certain trials, tests, trauma, trouble that require us to get refilled and refreshed spiritually. Can somebody say amen to that? So getting fresh oil of joy, rekindling and refueling your joy is so important. So we don't wait for joy to come. We make joy happen. Now, I grew up in a place where people didn't get happy or get joy until the organ was playing. The right song was being sung. The right melody was coming across from the platform. Or, you know, if, as we did it back in the day, you know, they used to hoop and they'd be, ah, and hold their ear. And people would get excited because of the hooping. That's a lot of times people waiting for joy to come because they're trying to get a feeling. Amen. But you got to make joy happen. Joy is a fruit of and a supernatural force of your born-again spirit that has to grow and be cultivated as you choose and daily decide you will operate in love, joy, and peace. That means, in other words, my faith and my faith is going to act like I'm in joy. Hallelujah. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So you don't program sorrow by spreading bad news and expect joy to surround you. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Psalms 150, verse 6. Make praise happen. It begins with being joyful. Amen. When you're intoxicated with joy, it explodes in praise. That's why joy is connected to Holy Spirit. You can't find a sad Holy Spirit. He's not down and depressed and discouraged. Praise God. He's always up. He's always on. He's always joyful because he is the Spirit of God. Praise God. Somebody say, praise the Lord. And so you don't allow your flesh to cause you to leak and run dry of joy, or don't let the devil steal your joy. Now, I think he's setting up more frequently today incidences and occurrences where our joy level would get lost or leak out. You know, Psalms 100 verse 1 and 2 says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Make a joyful noise to who? The Lord. All ye lands, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. One of the greatest assets to fulfillment in life is joy. I'll say it again. One of the greatest assets to fulfillment in life is joy. I found that, you guys know I'm doing sales and deal with the insurance business. And I found that people do not buy from unhappy salesmen. Yeah, I got a firm name. I got another salesman right back there. If I'm all serious, then they don't buy. If I don't answer the phone excited and glad to talk to them, then they say, well, I don't want to talk to you because you're not excited. Well, what does the Lord say? You got to serve me with gladness. He says you got to get enthusiastic and excited about what I'm asking you to do or serve me with, praise God, or you can get out of here. Hallelujah. See, when you're joyless, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, you are helpless. When you are joyless, you are helpless. And you know, when we're in the in my office there with the insurance, you know, a lot of fellow what we call comrades and colleagues are unhappy, and they all complain about the bad experiences, bad stuff. And you know, I had an interesting experience. It was a couple of weeks. Was it last week? Yeah, I think it was last week, or it may have been a week before. We walked in the situation. It was not a very good place to go to, but it just happened. And happened to know the person, actually, after I got in the house. But, you know, we didn't know each other before then. But I recognized him. I said, oh, man, we worked together for 20 years, where I used to work at churches. And but anyway, he's a little older than I am. But so next to his house was a real bad house. People were going. Looks like they were doing drugs or selling drugs. So they all looking at me as I'm pulling up. And they're like, what is this guy doing? Who is this guy? And so this guy pulls out a knife and flips it. And then he's cutting stuff. And he's making sure he's looking at me while he's doing it. Then a lady across the street is pointing at me. And I'm basically praying in the Holy Ghost. Got my car running. Amen, because the Bible says watch and pray, right? So and so he's cutting a knife. Then he turns around, and I see he has a bigger knife sticking out of his pants. It was not necessarily a knife, a buck knife, but it was actually a machete. So he had a big old machete. You know, he had the look of a gangster, you know, the T-shirt look, the trousers look, and he tatted up. Nothing wrong with tattoos. I'm not trying to condemn anybody or anything like that. It just he just had the part of a gangster. And so he comes walking up. He takes out the machete first and makes sure I see it. And he's still looking at me, and I'm praying in the Holy Ghost. I'm saying, Lord, what do you want me to do? I'm keeping this car running. Praise God. I got a few minutes before I go in there. And so he's there, and then all of a sudden he wants to come approach the car because the ladies are nervous across the street and the guys are nervous about me because this is a new car in the neighborhood or what's going on here. So praise God. Thank God for being filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. And so the Holy Spirit says, it's all right. Just keep the peace. And so he came walking up the car. Now, he moved the machete from the right hand like he's getting ready to come at to his the other hand. He walked up, then he lowered it, and so he comes up, and I roll the window down, not all the way, just a little bit. And so I rolled the window down, and I said, "What you doing here?" I mean, no hi, hello, who are you? My name is this. You know, I wasn't expecting that kind of greeting anyway. So he walking up with a machete. He's not necessarily coming, asking me, and rolling out the red carpet. Praise God. I know that. So I said, I said, sir, I got an appointment right here at this house in a few minutes. And if you don't mind, I'll stay right here and stay parked. I'm just going to visit them. Nothing to do with you. He said, oh, okay. And so he just calmed down, but he was all amped up, you know, coming to the car. And so everybody said, thank God for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will lead you even through the minor details of your most difficult situation. And so, through listening to the Holy Spirit and responding based on being filled with the Holy Spirit, the situation was not escalated, it was de-escalated. Now, I walk in the next day in the office. We all have to be there at certain times for callings and whatnot. And then, of course, everybody's laughing when I walk in. I'm like, man, what's everybody laughing for? There was just only a few people in, and my partner was there with me, and he had told the story. But unbeknownst to me at the time, he did tell me afterwards, after the time, he locked it, he pulled up after me across the street behind, and he said he locked his doors. I said, come on, man. What you no, again, got my back. But he told our big boss and the other boss, and they're all laughing. And he's got this big sword on his wall, about as long as this wall right here, or this wall right here, if you're looking on long. I mean, this thing is as long as this ceiling. And he said, "You want to use that in your next appointment?" And they all started busting out laughing. I said, "Praise God!" So we brought joy to the. Everybody's lighting up. "Hey, you okay? Everything all right? You good?" I said, "I'm good." Praise God! Somebody said, "Hallelujah." And we were able to help the family, and we'll be able to help them with more after everything gets taken care of. So praise God. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Now, here's what the point I want to make in this. When you're joyless, what did I say? You're helpless. When you're joyless, you're helpless. I drove 35 minutes praying in the Holy Ghost. Building up my spirit, man. Amen. Amen. And I was full. Amen. Don't do anything not full. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Somebody say, hallelujah. Somebody say, praise you, Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. I'll give you another one. I'm not bragging on me. I'm bragging on God. But this was the week before, you know, was at a house. Lady had lived a hard life. I mean, just absolutely rough. Biker, beachhead, dope drinker. She had destroyed her life. And I'm in there. And, of course, you know, you got to go in there full. And so I'm in the house, and it smells like smoke. And the smoke is pretty intense. And I was like, oh, I said, "Lord, I got to breathe." He said, "You'll be all right." And I said, "Ha, ha, ha." Holy Spirit, he's your coach. He talks to you. Amen. So you sit at the table, and da, 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 and then after it's all said and done, everything's good. Everything came out good. And then, of course, just really want to help people and minister, but you're doing it out of joy. You're glad to help. You're glad to serve them. You're glad to be a blessing. Somebody say, praise God. Because, see, when you're joyless, you're helpless. And so God opened up another door. This woman who had been at death's door three times. She had been coded out three times. We're able to help her, and it brought joy. And, you know, of course, the joy of the Lord is our strength, right? And so I'm in there, and she asked me this question as I was getting ready to fold it, closing my computer up and putting my stuff in the bag, and got there, and she said, "How did you get so close to God? And how did you become a priest or a pastor?" That's how she said. And the Holy Spirit just said something on his side. He said, "This is your opportunity." You think I'm going to sit there? Because, see, when you're joyless, you're helpless. So I took the opportunity. I said, "Well, you can get to know Jesus just like you don't have to be at a church." He said, "I hadn't been to church in ages and decades." And you can tell. So, there was another housemate there sitting on the couch. She was just overhearing, but she wasn't involved in the thing. And they both gathered attention because when I spoke, I started talking to them about the cross and the blood. And when I received Jesus as my Lord and personal Savior, the glory of God hit the room. Both of them sobbing. Why? When you're joyless, you're helpless. But when you're joyful, you're very helpful. Are you listening to me? They start crying. And she said, "What if I receive Jesus? What about my husband?" You know, her husband had been deceased for about 10 years. And she's a widow. And I said, "Well, the Lord help you remember him. You won't forget him. But you're going to have a great time in heaven. You might not have a lot of time here left on the earth, but you have a good time in heaven." That's exactly what I told her. And she jumped up from her seat and grabbed my hand. "Let's pray." The other girl, lady came over, grabbed my hands too. Led them to the Lord. The joy of the Lord. The joy was salvation. Amen. It's the only way you keep this kind of joy is you give it away. See, so many Christians are unhappy because they got it just locked up. They think my salvation is personal and private. I don't want people to know stuff. Well, get over yourself. Amen. And share the joy of your salvation. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Somebody say, hallelujah. And, of course, we got a new sister in the kingdom. Sisters in the kingdom, I should say. Sisters in the kingdom. So I called them last week, and they're doing good. Praise God. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Somebody say, hallelujah. But, you know, it just thrills you because then I got home, and I just, the joy of the Lord erupted. And there was psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Come on now. There was giving thanks. There was tears coming from my eyes. Praise God. There was dancing around my room. Praise God. Just rejoicing in the Lord. Praise God. This is where we need to live. And on the opposite side, this explains why downcast people are always going down. And you know them. You got them by name. Memorize. When they call you, when they come close to you, you know that they got some down story. Y'all here? Y'all going home? They always got a drama statement. Downcast people are always going down because it takes a boosted morale to make a definite and outstanding mark in life. But some people are always unhappy. They can never explain why they are that way. They sag, they slump, they look sorrowful, and they wonder why every other person is laughing. Me and my pastor friend, we were laughing. But why? Because what the devil meant for evil, God turned it around for good. God wanted us to be scared and sad and run, but the Lord, the Holy Ghost, cause us to stay there and be glad and have some fun. Hallelujah. It takes a glad heart to give acceptable praise to God. It's not just singing that registers your praise in heaven. It is worshiping and celebrating God from a full heart, heart full of joy that provokes him to come down in the midst of your praises. Psalms 22, verse 3 says, God inhabits the praises of his people. You've got to learn to encourage yourself and learn to rejoice in the Lord. Somebody say, rejoice in the Lord. Now, I'm going to cover this scripture, and I think I'm going to close, guys. Samuel, let's go to Samuel. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. First Samuel. Y'all getting something out of this? Now, I'm going to make this statement before we read this scripture. This is from, Smith Wigglesworth. He says it this way. The only way to keep from shrinking back into the natural mind or in the natural man. You can put both of them because they're kind of there together. The only way to keep from shrinking back into the natural mind or the natural man from which you can receive nothing from the Lord. Because see, a lot of people aren't happy because their prayers aren't answered or they don't understand why I'm not receiving. They don't realize because I stopped rejoicing, I stopped receiving. But he says the only way to keep back from shrinking back into the natural mind or the natural man from which we can receive nothing from the Lord is to be filled and filled again with the Holy Spirit. We always said everything you need is where? In the Spirit. Everything, all answers are where? In the Spirit. Everything gets done by speaking. Where? In the Spirit. Now, let's look at this in 1 Samuel, verse 30. Thank you, guys, putting it up. It says, and it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag. on the third day, and that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, attacked Ziklag and burned it with fire, and had taken captive the women and those that were with them, from small to great. And they did not kill anyone, but carried them away and went their way. So David and his men came to the city where it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters had been taken captive. Then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. It's a pretty bad situation, right? And David's two wives, Ahinoam and the Jezreelite, and Abigail, the widow of Nabal, the Carmelite, was taken captive. Now David was greatly distressed, for the people started speaking of stone. They spoke of what? Stoning him. Because, why? The soul of all the people was grieved. Now when you're not, like I said, when you're not joyful, you're not helping anybody, and you could be hurting somebody. Because now you're bringing around your dread, and you're drowning people in sorrow. Now, why did they speak of stoning him? Because they were unhappy. He said their hearts were, the soul of the people was grieved for every man, for his sons and daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord, his God. David strengthened himself, the Lord his God. Now let's look at verse 7. That's our last verse. Then David said to Abiathar, the priest of Ahimelech's son, "Please bring me an ephod here." And Abiathar brought the ephod to David. So David inquired of the Lord, saying, "What should I pursue this troop and overtake them?" So he encouraged himself to pray, and then praise the Lord. Amen. So, some of the lessons we learn here is that shame and a broken and sorrow and brokenheartedness thrive on the past. Concentrating on failures, mishaps, and missed opportunities. Insults and assault, what they said, what they did, what happened to me. Look how they've done me wrong, and you're constantly rehearsing that. What is that keeping you brokenhearted, sad, and sorrowful? And as we've shared before, these things cause you to get into the shame cycle or sorrow cycle. And then you fall into indirect pride. We spoke of that previously. Indirect pride only bows the knee to your way. I want to be unhappy. And I want everybody else to know I'm unhappy. I want to tell everybody about my problems. And I want everybody to have pity on me because I've got these problems. What is it? Indirect pride. Amen. Indirect pride bows the knee to your way instead of rejoicing in the Lord always, or instead of in everything giving thanks. They just want everybody to hear my sad, sorrowful tale. Are y'all here? And it rebels and refuses to submit, humble, and yield to God's way and God's will. And so we said it before this way, feelings of inadequacy or feelings of failure lead to self-shame and self-pity or sorrow. The same shaming cycle, and the sorrow cycle will only move will manifest an indirect pride, which it says this: I'm no good, I'm a failure. I've really been horribly treated. They working me like a slave. They don't give me what I deserve. Amen. We cannot, and we should not, let our past rob our future. God said it to me very loud and clear. The future for this church, he loves this church. He loves the people of this church. He loves our partners that are part of this church. He said our future is bright. He didn't plan us for a devastating or disastrous future. Now, it might be a devastating, disastrous future for many. But for his kids, he's destined victory. He's destined triumph. He's destined blessings. Come on now. He's destined good things. But don't let your past rob you of your future. Why? Because if you remain in the past, it will rob you of your future. So as I close with this comment, question, are you more committed to the voice of shame and sorrow than committed to the voice of God? Nehemiah 8:10, as I'm closing, says, be no more sad. So what's the summary statement of what I'm telling you today? Be no more sad. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Don't be dejected, as it says in the New Living Translation, and sad, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And we'll pick it up there next time. Would you stand with me, please? Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You got to program joy. Now, here's what the Holy Spirit says we need to take out of our day. We got to take out of what I got to do and get done and operate under that pressure and stress of everything that has to be done and how much weight is on your shoulders and the responsibilities and all you got to do. No, what do you got to do? First, you got to get filled. Get filled with the Holy Spirit. Praise God. We're all busy. We all have responsibilities. You know, the devil tries to make his saints, the saints of God, bad or busy. But he really bogs you down when he gets you in sorrow. And you feel like, well, and then he taps on you at night saying, you didn't read your Bible today. You didn't pray today. You didn't pray in the Spirit today. Oh, you're 2 or 3 days behind your Bible reading. You just worthless. You're a slug, Christian. You're a sluggard. And then you start, yes, I am. I'm no good. I forgot to pray during my prayer watch. I just totally blew it. Don't tell Pastor. Don't be sad. Come on, lift your hands and get filled with the Holy Spirit. Praise God.